discover the door of your heart, then you have discovered the gateway to heaven. I believe that's what it says. And yeah, because when we read in Revelation, Jesus says, "I stand at the door and knock." Stand at the door and knock. And Jesus is a gentleman. Not like a vampire, you can't come in and ask him about it. But Jesus is a gentleman. He will not come in unless you invite him into your life, into your situation, into whatever aspect of your life that you have. And we all have said to my niece yesterday that we are, each of us is very much like a diamond. We have so many faces, and different people get to see a few of those faces. But God is amazing because He sees every single one of those faces. Yeah? And, yes, and so He knocks. He says, "Hey, can I come in?" So, my plan is I'm going to look at three aspects of this. Just an initial part. One part will be from the Old Testament. One part will be from the Psalms. And we might leave that there. Okay, so this is from Genesis, and it reads, "The Lord came to Abraham in a vision, okay, and He said, 'Do not be afraid, Abraham, I am your shield and your very great reward.'" This is probably my favorite verse in the Bible. It's up there on the top 10. Just that little bit. "I am your shield and
your
reward." But Abraham said, "Oh Lord, what will you give me as I continue to be childless in his 90s at this point? And the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus." And Abraham said, "You have given me no offspring, and so a slave born in my house is to be my heir." Now, obviously none of us would ever be saved, so that's not an issue. However, it was someone who wasn't from his biological family that he had been promised that he would have a son. "This man shall not be your heir. No one but your very own son shall be your heir." He brought him outside and said, "Look towards the heavens and count them." Now, I remember Joanne, when she was up here at the pulpit, talked about when she was on, I think, Dartmoor, or so, looking up at the stars, you can see those. I'm from Ghana, and I remember one night, I was just sleeping, I was outside. I could see the stars, and there were so many, you could see the nebula, the constellations, and those were interesting. You see the Big Dipper and various things and high points and Southern Cross. Wow, how interesting. But there are so many stars. And he says, "If you are able to count them, so shall your descendants be." And he believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. Because he believed. Then he said to him, "I, the Lord, who brought you out of from Ur, where the Chaldeans, to give you this land to possess." But he said, "O Lord God, how am I to know that I shall possess it?" He said to him, okay, this gets a little bit gory, but interesting. He said to me, "Bring a heifer, okay, 3 years old, a female goat, and a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a young pigeon." And he brought all these to him. Imagine. Doves. What's this? What are you doing? He brought them and he cut them in two, laying them on either side. But the birds didn't cut them. Okay? And then when this was so, if you can imagine, you've got all these cut to pieces, like imagine the butchers, and you've got a little offer and you've got a leg of lamb here, and you've got this. You've got all this, the gory sight. What is this? And then, and God asked him to do that, and course you'd have animals coming down, vultures, etc., to try and hit them, but Abraham tried to stop them. Okay, so that's the scene. And as the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. A deep and terrifying darkness descended upon him. I'm just going to rest there just for a second. When you sleep, is your sleep deep and cozy? Is your sleep deep and solid? Where have you ever had a deep and terrifying sleep? But the fact is that we all put you to sleep. And this image is, if you like, stuff on this side, stuff on this side, the Lord had made a way. What this was, this was a covenant. God was making a deal. A bit like a marriage is a deal in a strange kind of way. He was making a commitment to this man. And the commitment was, I will be your God. I will do all these things. You are to Abraham is the father of faith. He's in the hall of fame in the Hebrews 11. It's amazing. But God says, you probably can't live up to all of my ideals and all of my limits. Because you just can't. Because you're only human. So because of that, I'm making this covenant with you, and I will take the greatest share. A bit like when a child is born. A child says, okay, I'm going to be part of this family. Wah! Like that. And however they do it, wah, chase me, wah, dude. Right? I'm here. But the bear is like, yeah, you are going to be part of this family, but who's got the biggest share, got the work to do? It's the bear. And that's what this situation is like. So here we are. Number one, Jesus loves us so he takes the greatest share. Wait. In Psalm 27, we are invited to read some themes, which we can in a second. I remember Fletcher did an amazing thing on message on this. We'll look at this. Right. Now. That is it. Okay. Rarely have I been gripped by the emotional power of an idea, such as this one, that Jesus is the lover of my soul. We feel ourselves being drawn into the words of Moses in Exodus. Show me your glory, for that is your beauty. In Psalm 105, it says, look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. Or in Psalm 27, verse 8. May your heart say, my heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will see. Okay. There is beauty in the face of Christ, which our renewed hearts long for. We want to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. So with this background, hear what the lover says. The lover is saying to the beloved, in the song of all songs, in the greatest song ever, the Song of Songs. Verse 2, chapter 2, verse 14, he writes, my dove, in the clefts of the rock, in the hiding places, on the mountainside, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. Let me hear your voice. For your voice is sweet and your face is lovely. Alright. The Song of Songs is doing the same thing as the rest of Scripture. It is a beautiful picture of human love, but it constantly points us beyond human intimacy to Jesus as the lover of our souls. And to the guys, it's not even a strange concept. What? You know, we're not involved in toxic masculinity, what have you, but we were informed last week, weren't we, that the church is the bride of Christ. The church is the bride of Christ. We are the bride of Christ. And we have a relationship. It goes on. His goodness is running after me. His goodness is running after me. So seeking the face of Christ is entirely biblical. But the extraordinary thing is that this is about Jesus longing to see my face. The man in the Song of Songs calls to his beloved a dove. He is a gazelle, but that's okay, because as metaphors, the dove is not visible, okay? She is hiding in the cleft, in the rock, of a stony outcrop in the mountain, but he is keen to see her, and so he calls to her to come out and show her face, and coo back to him. The young man uses this image, to portray himself wanting to see, let's call her, his girlfriend's face, and to hear her speak. She's looking away and silent. Perhaps in modern times, she's absorbed in her smartphone. And he wants eye contact. He longs for her attention. Why? Because her voice is so sweet to him. It's like the favorite music, his top song of all time. Hearing her speak thrills him. Not just her voice in general, okay, but all that it represents, that when she speaks to him, she should want to talk to him, okay? Yeah, she should want to talk to him. I don't know if you've ever been in a situation where you talk to someone and they don't really want to talk to you, but this is really very different. And it's not just her voice, he longs to see her face, he finds her lovely. Her face pleases him aesthetically. When he sees it, there's a deep thrill in his gut. I'm sure the way Paul thought about his wife. Okay, a kind of heady delight. Again, it is not simply her face in the abstract. It's her face turned towards him in love. How he longs to see her smile at him. Almost done. So at a human level, this is a powerful portrayal of the lover longing for his beloved in deep appreciation. But we can and must take it a step further. This is Christ speaking to us, to you, and to me. This is the voice of the heavenly lover revealing his desire for his earthly beloved. You, Jesus himself says to your soul, you do your body, soul, and spirit. But Jesus said to your soul, the untouched part of it. Your spirit's in me. So, but he says to your soul, he says, show me your face. Let me hear your voice. Your voice is sweet. Your face is lovely. Okay. And bringing this to life. Okay. Bringing this to life. Dane, in his book, writes, divine beauty is not only to be apprehended, that's understood, it is to be reflected in us. It's why we exist. I think that's a pretty powerful statement. It is why we exist. And you may well be wondering at this point what this looks like in practice. Okay, so consider this scenario. All right, here you go. Maybe it's 6:30. Let's select someone, shall we? Alex and Haley. So maybe Alex is going off for a run at 5:30 a.m. Whatever. And he says, Oh gosh. 5:30 already, I'm late. And he wakes up at 7:30. Too late. I don't know, for a quiet time, I suppose. The Lord will understand. And the Lord says, show me your face. But I'm too busy. Show me your face. But you've got lots of other disciples. Why can't you pick up one of them? Who's a alarm clock went off on time. Show me your face. But I haven't had time to shave. Lots of people are not going to want to see my face at this rate. Alex said, shave, he's got a beard. But anyway, let's move on. Show me your face. But my face isn't worth seeing. Replace what your name is. Right? Show me your face. Lord, even... Okay, so this could be... So now let's see that. Okay. So, right. So, Lord, I don't even like my face very much. Let me alone. Let alone what's behind it. And you have much higher standards than me. Lord says, show me your face, for your face is lovely. Oh no, it's not. Maybe this is how I'm talking to you right now. It's lopsided, it's blotchy, it's got revolving spots on my forehead. Show me your face, for it is lovely. You aren't going to give up. Show me your face. Well, your face is lovely. Okay. I think you've got my attention now. But what can I say? Let me hear your voice. Well, I think that's happening, isn't it? I can't imagine that you're enjoying it particularly, though. Let me hear your voice, for your voice is sweet, says the Lord. But I have a sore throat, seriously. What I'm doing is moaning. The Lord says, your voice is sweet. Okay, I'll stop reading. But back at uni, I had a friend. That's just a friend. And she was amazing. She taught me a song. That's it. It doesn't go anywhere. That's it. Alright, but she told me this song. And the song was, here's a little secret that you may already know. It happens when we lift our hands and let the praises flow. Because when you lift them up and raise them, when you lift them up and praise him, it does as much for us as it does for him. Because we get lifted up. And he will lift. Oh, wow, it's amazing. All right, but that message has stuck with me however many years later. All right, that it does as much for us as it does for him. And we praise our God. Our God is incredible. And we get to experience different aspects of him. Okay, so I'm going to leave that being there. So back to Psalm 27. The Lord is the light of my, this is my, also my tenor. The Lord is my light, the light of my salvation. God I trust, God I trust. Okay, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, including issues. Okay, my enemy will stumble and fall. Why? Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war break out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And scripture, we have many examples of this. But God does things for people who are committed. For in the day of trouble, he will lift me. He will keep me safe in his bread. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent, his tabernacle, and set me high upon a rock. In the day of troubles, he lifted me from the miry pit and put me somewhere way beyond the reach of my enemies. Up there. How good is God? Then my head will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. Yeah, and I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear me, Lord, be merciful to me. I don't know what you're there. But just in closing, we serve a God who loves us so much. He has torn down the wall of hostility between us. He is powerful and is able to do many, many, many things far beyond ever we can think or imagine. And at the end of our lives, the greatest prayer can often be, thank you. Just thank you. So, in closing, what's his name? He is Jay. Okay, he joins us wherever we are. He is E. He is excellent, praiseworthy, phenomenal, ecstatic in his love for us. He is S. He's superb. He has a supremacy of all things. To him belong all things. He's able to unite things, and he created by his word all things were made. He is you. He is unbelievable, undescribable, phenomenal. He is S. He's our Savior, the sacrificial lamb, and he is the lover of our souls, Jesus Christ. May he be with us and guide our path as we go through our lives with our families, our friends, our work, and ultimately to understand that he wants to see your face.